Good morning. It's good to see all of y'all. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Want to encourage you to be here at the 8018. Rumor on the street is we're going to have some guest vocalists, and they are really something that you want to hear. They are special. So come out and be a part of that. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have some fun. Going to sing and praise the Lord and just have some fun. So come to the 8018. Several years ago, I got a Bluetooth for my truck. Now, my son-in-law Kyle at that time was working at Best Buy, and he installed these things. So him and Holly went together and got one because I think they were worried about me driving and talking and texting. And so they get this Bluetooth. Well, I open it on Christmas morning, and they're all excited. And as I open it, it's the little box. The whole thing is only a little box about half as big as the Bible. And I open it, and before I can hardly read the label, Holly says, "Dad, do you know what this is for?" And then she starts into explaining to me the whole process of Bluetooth, and now your phone will sync with the radio on your truck, and blah, 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 blah. And then Kyle goes in, and he says, "Look, I'll install it for you." And I said, "Well, you know, do y'all have a wheelchair too?" Or, you know what I mean? And I wanted to say, "Hey, look, if I hang the wire out the window, will it tell me the temperature inside and out?" You know what I mean? And I said, "I'm not a moron. I understand Bluetooth. I'm not an idiot." And then I said, "Hey, can I play music off my phone through, you know what I mean?" And they went, "Oh, I don't know." And I said, "Well, see, look, you know." But sometimes I think we struggle with the gift of Jesus. There's so many voices, there's so many thoughts, there's so many things going on and talking to us in our culture, even sometimes in our own family traditions. Hey, Christmas trees are a huge thing at our house. We had to go pick it out, cut it. We were coming home from Billy's yesterday, and both Billy and Holly have already got their trees. And me, huh? And we don't. Guess what we might do if the rain holds off this afternoon? And guess who's going just by ourselves and not with our kids to get it for the first time in a long time? And somehow, I don't know if that's my fault, but it is. But there are traditions that are big, and they distort what Jesus is all about. And so this year for our Christmas series, we want to do something a little different. We want to talk specifically about who Jesus says He is and what He's all about. And in John's Gospel, Jesus has this saying that He's repeated 8 or 9 times that says, "I am." And so what He does is He says, "I am this," and it gives us a picture of who He is and what He does. He wants us to receive Him, not for the gifts He can give us, but for what He can be in us. So this morning, we want to kind of open up those "I am" sayings, that we would be able to not only understand exactly who Jesus is, exactly what the gift is, and what He's intended for, but we could share Him with others, that we could be a clear voice in our culture, in our families, about who Jesus is, what the gift is, and what it's for. So if you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 6, and we'll start reading in verse 26. Jesus has fed the 5,000 and walked on the water, and He begins to speak in verse 26. The crowds have followed Him, and they are now gathered around Him, and Jesus says to them in verse 26, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him God the Father has placed His seal of approval. Then they asked Him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is to believe in the one He has sent. So they asked Him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, Sir, always give us this bread. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those He has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. This is kind of a loaded text, and we're going to kind of work our way through the text this morning. And then I want to give you like four takeaways to go home with to think about. Here this crowd approaches Jesus again, and they are hungry. Now He directs their attention away from their stomachs into a bread that is eternal. And then in verse 29, He says to them, the way to work for this eternal food is to believe in this one God that sent Jesus the Messiah. And the crowd says to Him, well, give us a sign that we may believe you. What work do you perform? Our fathers had manna in heaven. In other words, every day, this is from Exodus, every day God provided manna for the Jews as they were out in the desert. And here's my sense of this. Even though they had seen Him feed the 5,000, they were hungry. They remembered that Moses gave their forefathers manna in the desert every day, and they wanted everyday miracles. And they wanted Him to keep doing signs. In other words, give me another sign. Prove it to me over and over and over and over again. Keep doing the signs. And Jesus responds to them very straightforwardly in verse 32. He says to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. There's a double denial here of what they're thinking about. And then He gives them this, what is truly an amazing offer. See, He says to them that Moses is not the key player in the manna. They are coming to Jesus and they're going, look, Moses gave it to us. And Jesus said to them, you got it all wrong. Moses didn't give you anything. God gave the manna to Moses. In other words, it came through him. This is where it came from. And then He says that, look, it's not really about the manna. The second part of the verse, He says, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread. The bread from heaven. It's a symbol of what's to come in Jesus. It's not about manna. It's not about filling my stomach. It's about eternity. It's about hope. It's about a future. And then He offers them this amazing offer. He says, my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. He gives it to you. It's a personal gift. Just like I got a Bluetooth from Holly and Kyle. It was for me. One for Carol, one for everybody, one for the house. It was for me. It goes in my truck. Jesus says to them that this gift, this true bread, this manna from heaven, that's all about God, it's all about hope, it's all about eternity. It is for you, it is for a person, it's a personal gift. Now I think what makes this hard is this is how we go into the world. When we talk about the gift of heaven, it's not a gift for the church, it's not a gift for all believers, it is a gift for me. So when I go out into the world and I talk about Jesus to people, I need to tell them that God gave Him to me. It is very personal. And then in verse 33, He begins to give a scope of the offer. He says, for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It is the bread of God that is offered to us. It is the bread of God that's given to the world. It's the bread of God that is given to everyone. Not to a few, but to all. It comes down from heaven. This weekend, we took some shower gifts. We went and saw Billy. We took some shower gifts from them. And there was one wrapped in gold paper. Beautiful. I knew exactly who it was from. Only Holly wraps that like that. I mean, you can tell it is by the way it's wrapped who it's from. You know, if I wrap it, it could be in a paper bag. I'm a big gift bag guy. You know what I mean? I think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. God gives us this gift that is personal. It is the gift of God for all. And listen to what they say. Always give us the bread. That's verse 34. Always give us the bread. Like Moses, just keep on giving us the bread. Fill us our stomach. They cannot lift their eyes to even catch a glimpse of what God is saying to them through Christ. That look, I'm giving you bread. This is a gift from me. It is for the world. It is for you and for all the world. Take it. And then Jesus responds to them in verse 35. And I don't know, but I almost wonder sometimes if He doesn't respond to them almost out of look. Won't you ever get it? He says to them in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And this, folks, was a verse that changed my life. It had a tremendous impact on me. And I think it was because for a long time, I was really empty. I tried a lot of different things to be satisfied. And nothing that I tried brought satisfaction. And I can remember almost thinking, you know, if I just knew what to do to be filled on the, to fill this hole, it would be such a blessing. And when I came to this verse and I understood that the way to fill my soul is to live off Jesus. If He is to be the center, if I eat and drink of Him, if I am consumed in Him, then there is no more hunger, there is no more void, there is no more emptiness, that I am truly satisfied, that I am full, that I have the bread of life. See, not only am I full in that I am satisfied, for the first time, I had something to give. You know, until you feel full, you really don't have anything to give. And in Christ, I was full. When He became the bread of life, when He became what I ate, when He became what I drank, when He became my all, I was full. I had something to share. Something to see, you don't share things that you think won't be of help. Now, not only did I have a fullness, I had something to share that I knew was a gift from for others that would fill them. That was like nothing that they ever had. It was unique and special by God for them. And when we drink Him in, when we swallow the glory of Jesus, there is this never-ending supply in us to share with others. All the other treasures in life point to Him. And when He becomes the bread of life, when I know what to do, see, I know now, I'm going to tell you, there's times now when I go, uh-oh, I'm kind of hungry. And I know exactly where to go. I know exactly where to feed. I know exactly who to drink in. I know exactly what to take in. I know exactly what satisfies my soul because He is the bread of life. He is what feeds me. He is what sustains me. He alone is what fills the hunger in my heart. And I think the hardest thing for a lot of us is to be satisfied in Jesus. Just to go, you know what? He's enough. And if we understand who He is, if He is the bread of heaven, if He is my gift to me from God, how can I want more? And if I believe in Him, how can He not be enough? And folks, when we communicate that we're still empty, I think it speaks volumes about our faith. So let me ask you a really hard question this morning. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Is He enough? Because if we're going to share Him with the world, He has to be not just enough, but more than enough. He has to be the thing that meets the person, the spot, the spirit that meets every need in my life. He has to be the thing that sustains me. He has to be my hope, my dream, my desire, my all. And when I got this verse, when Jesus became that for me, it changed me. I no longer look. I no longer search. Sometimes now when I'm in, it's like I go back. And it's like, man, I know exactly what I want. You ever stand in the kitchen and go, I want something to eat, but I don't know what it is. And you eat and you eat and you pick. You know, you pick what? You know, I'm going to have a little bit of this. Look, it's Thanksgiving. Everybody probably had leftovers, so I have a little bit of turkey. That's not quite it. So I'm going to have a little bit of cranberry. That's not quite it. I'm going to have a little bit of this. And I'm going to have, and you go, what is it that I want? And the great thing to me is I live life like that. I walk through my days going, I'm starving to death. I've got to have something. Give me a little bit. No, that's not it. I want this. No, that's not it. No, this, it's not it. And then He became the bread of life. And I go, that's it. That's all I want. That's everything I want. And what makes life so great for me now is I don't have to look. Whenever I hunger, whenever I thirst, I go right back to Him. And He fills me and sustains me and carries me on. Now we're going to start with the takeaways. He is essential for life. The bread is considered for most a staple food. You know, you can survive for a long time just on bread and water. we use the idea, that idea. How many of you here ever break bread? You know, it's called, it's what we use for, it's kind of a generic name for food. This is what Jesus is. He is essential. He is a part of life. Without Him, you live, but you don't have life. You survive. In, can't remember the year. I was in the hospital at Christmas time. I went like, what was it, babe? 17 days, 20 days without eating or drinking anything. Huh? Yeah. I didn't eat or drink anything. Had a tube down my nose and they were pumping my stomach for the entire time. And I was alive. I was surviving. But I don't think I was living. I know this. I never want to go back there again. They brought me a little bit of juice on New Year's Eve. It's the first thing I'd had to eat or drink in all that time. I never tasted juice that tasted so good. I mean, I savored it all the way down the back of my throat. I took a sip. I was afraid to drink it too fast, you know. I took a sip and just let it kind of sit. I said, oh, man. And I learned that there's a difference between life and living. Jesus is telling these folks that I am essential for life. You can live in the physical realm, but you die in the spiritual without Jesus. He is essential for life. He offers eternal life. Jesus does not think about time like we think about time. We were with Billy and his fiance Kaylee. They're counting down the days till getting married. 21 days. You know, they're marking them off. That to them, time is all consumed in, you know, those 21 days. Jesus comes to these people and He says, look, I am the bread of life. Lift your eyes. It is not about physical time. It's about eternal. It's about forever. When I began to take this life into my heart and I began to be full on Jesus, I began to have a perspective on an eternal life. And I began to look at myself as an eternal being. It changes the choices that I make. I no longer think about just now. I'm planning for forever through Christ. I'm going to be in heaven. Jesus is the bread of life. He brings us eternal life. The physical bread perishes. The spiritual bread brings eternal life. It is forever. Jesus says to these folks that He is God. He says, I am the bread of life. And that I am phrase is not something that most of us kind of key on. But for the Jewish people, this was the covenant name of God, Yahweh, revealed to Moses in the burning bush. What Jesus is saying is, I am the bread of life. I am self-sufficient. I don't need you. The gift is complete in Him. And these Jewish folks would have understood this claim to deity, that He is God. Do you understand that what is offered to us is a piece of God? That He is a Most High God. Says to us, look, I give of myself to you in the form of my Son. This is my gift to you. Sustain yourself on Him. He is the bread of life. He is the very thing that gives you hope for all eternity. He is the thing that fills the hunger and the thirst in your soul. He is your hope. And Jesus invites us to come and believe. To come to Him. Believe in the miracle. Believe in what you've seen. The invitation is to come is found throughout John's gospel. And coming to Jesus means making a choice to forsake the world and follow Him. Believing in Jesus means placing our faith in Him that He is, now get this, He is who He says He is, and He let's try it again. He is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He will do, and only He can do that. I'm going to say that again. If we place our faith in Him, we say that Jesus is who He says He is, that He is the Son of God, that He is the bread of life, that He can offer eternal life, that He will do what He says He can do, and that only He can do that. So now let me ask you a question. Who satisfies your hunger? Where do you go when your soul is empty? How do you nourish the core of your being? Who fills you up? See, Jesus can satisfy our hunger and our thirst for righteousness, for He alone is the bread of life. So when you hear these words this Christmas season, when you hear somebody say, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a Savior is given," understand that that child, that Savior, is Jesus. And that He is the bread of life. Let's pray.